Welcome to KUI News, the collaboration between the University of Idaho's own student-operated radio station, KUI, and its editorially independent student newspaper, The Argonaut. Stay up to date on everything going on your campus and beyond every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Once in the morning at 9:30 a.m., and once after you're actually awake at 3:30 p.m. Welcome to KUI News for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013. I'm Dylan Brown. Upcoming on today's broadcast, Britt Kaiser has a reaction from high-ranking campus officials on the departure of President Dwayne Nellis and the appointment of his interim successor, former Dean of the College of Law, Don Burnett. Allison Griffith also takes a look at the new Smart Recovery program on campus offered through the Counseling and Testing Center. In sports, Theo Lawson has this week's Athletes of the Week, and Stefan Wiebe recaps the performances of three Vandal track and field stars at the prestigious Stanford Invitational. From RAR, our weekly arts and entertainment insert, Anthony Taranelli talks beer with the Moscow Alehouse that has rekindled its partnership with the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company. But first, this news. To say the University of Idaho is in a state of transition when it comes to high-ranking administrators would be an understatement. With the announcement of Provost Doug Baker's departure for the presidency at Northern Illinois University, on top of President Dwayne Nellis's departure for Texas Tech University in June, the pressure on interim President Don Burnett heightens. With a look at how the people at the top of the university are reacting to the shuffle, Britt Kaiser has this story.
Although President M. Dwayne Nellis will leave the University of Idaho in June, business is set to continue as usual. The university is bigger than one person, UI College of Agricultural and Life Sciences Interim Dean John Folt said.
While the president is kind of the poster child, if you will, for the university, it is all the other people as well, faculty, staff, students. And so just because the president is leaving doesn't mean that you're not going to class anymore and that we're not doing research and that we're not serving the state.
The Idaho State Board of Education appointed UI College of Law Dean Don Burnett as interim president Wednesday. While he didn't see the SBOE's decision coming, School of Journalism and Mass Media Director Kenton Bird said in hindsight he wasn't surprised because he knew they were looking for somebody who's familiar with the university, has continuity with Nellis, and knowledge of the state. Burnett's mother, father, and wife all went to UI. Burnett didn't personally obtain any degrees at UI, but Bird said he is still familiar with the history, traditions, and character of the university. Burnett's family is originally from Wallace, Idaho, and he served on the Idaho Court of Appeals, among several other law positions, all of which contribute to his deep Idaho roots, Bird said. Burnett is UI's longest-serving dean at almost 11 years, which Bird said makes him more than qualified for the interim president position. College of Business and Economics Dean Mario Reyes said he has confidence in a seamless transition between Nellis and Burnett.
Again, goes back to he's been here for many years. He understands the challenges and issues at the university and the opportunities we face. He's worked with President Nellis for some time and the provost. I have every confidence in a seamless transition from President Nellis to interim President Burnett.
A transitional challenge might lie in maintaining the forward momentum of Nellis's initiatives, not only during the summer, but during Burnett's interim presidency and into the permanent presidency, Bird said. Those initiatives include the 2020 task force, committed to increasing enrollment and funded research, as well as the two task forces related to student safety and conduct. One that deals with the relationship between UI and its Greek life, and the other centered on the prevention of substance abuse, Bird said. Reyes said another of Nellis's accomplishments is the President's Diversity Council he implemented upon his arrival at UI to provide him with advice about how to increase diversity across campus.
And now we're seeing that. And that diverse student body now enriches our campus community.
Also among Nellis's initiatives is the Event Center Task Force, which will explore the possibility of a basketball arena on the north end of the Kibbe Dome, Bird said. Reyes said he's also sad to see Nellis go, but has admired Burnett's leadership style since they served together on a search committee for the provost.
That's when I first got to know him well, and ever since that time, my admiration of his leadership style has grown. And now I'm privileged to be working, and you know, the last 2 years been privileged to be working with him as a dean, fellow dean, and now as our interim president.
For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
Addiction is a lifelong struggle, and there are no easy solutions for the countless people affected by a wide range of problems. With a look at the new Smart Recovery Program for people on campus coping with addiction, Allison Griffith filed this report.
Just as people learn and think differently, they can also go through the addiction process in various ways, which is one of the reasons why the Counseling and Testing Center began the Self-Managing and Recovery Training Program. Though there are already 12-step group meetings in Moscow, and it is a very successful program, students oftentimes had trouble fitting into the AA structure, said Sharon Fitz, the coordinator of Outreach, Consultation, and Substance Abuse Services for the Counseling and Testing Center at the University of Idaho, which is why the CTC adopted the SMART program. The program is based around a group setting, with facilitators sometimes leading discussions are providing a 15 to 30-minute psychoeducational aspect to the meeting, she said. Dan O'Donnell, a co-facilitator for the SMART program, said that a lot of the underlying issues of addictive behavior are very similar, and the group has very open conversations. Fritz said that they do not require sobriety in the program, so they have some people who may be trying to stay sober while others are trying to moderate their behavior to a more manageable state. We are helping these students recognize how their thoughts and their behaviors either reinforce their drinking behavior or enhance their sobriety, Fritz said. Fritz said that at UI, 31% of the students meet the criteria for alcohol abuse, and 6% of the students are dependent on alcohol. O'Donnell said that he has worked at other universities, and only one besides UI offered the SMART program. Having a SMART group on campus is a pretty unique opportunity, he said. It provides an alternative to the 12-step method, or can be used alongside it. The program is free to students and meets from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. on Mondays. Fritz said it is preferred if students touch base with the CTC before going to meetings so they can discuss the individual's goals and see where they are at. For KUOI News, I'm Allison Griffith.
Bessie is still going to get some new bedding. She is just going to have to wait until next semester. The University of Idaho Food and Farm Composting Program that turns student food waste into bedding for UI dairy cows is shutting down for extensive renovations on April 2nd. Adria Mead, the Sustainability Center's student director, said the decision was made to minimize the amount of potential compost that could be lost by closing down during the summer when food waste production is at its lowest point.
It's something that we just recently discovered is going to be a lot easier to do if we stop collecting compost and then just get that site ready and prepared. And then we're going to open up again in the fall with all this brand new equipment that'll be functioning.
Donations from Campus Dining, the Sustainability Center, ASUI, and the Palouse Research Extension and Education Center, as well as the Environmental Science Department, will purchase a range of new composting equipment to be implemented by August 1st, just in time for the return of students next fall. A one-time donation from ASUI of $22,000 will purchase a new conveyor belt and mixer. The renewal of UI's food service contract with Sodexo 3 years ago stipulated Campus Dining had to reduce their waste by 90%. Since then, 111 tons of pre- and post-consumer food waste has been diverted from the landfill by the Food and Farm program. In order to produce usable bedding, though, for the cattle, the compost must be turned over regularly, which has been difficult with the 37 tons coming in every year and subpar equipment. The new system will help increase the rate of decomposition, turning food into compost more quickly. Research Extension Superintendent Don Till.
And generally, if the process is working, you know, it's 4 to 6 months, turn
usable.
It into primary compost. And then what we'll do after that is after it reaches that stage, it's taken out of the bin and just put in a pile for it to go through a secondary composting, which just further breaks it down a little bit more. And, you know, it might sit there for another 4 to 6 months, and then it should be a usable product.
This is where the new equipment comes in. The new mixer will combine food waste with manure to accelerate their decomposition process, and the combination then heads down the new conveyor belt and through a screen, which removes materials that won't biodegrade as quickly. Then it's back into a pile for another 4 to 6 months. However, the program is having some problems with some pesky forks, spoons, and knives. Campus Sustainability Director Darren Saul.
One of the reasons that we had to buy more equipment is that the compostable flatware, like spoons and forks and stuff like that, doesn't actually compost. We're just pulling things like that out now.
On the research extension side, the troublesome flatware has hampered their efforts to make campus a more sustainable, closed system.
Right now, the final product is because of these forks, spoons, and knives, it's not real usable.
The Sustainability Center hopes providing an alternative can come from the student body that has supported the project since the beginning.
So that's one of the things the center is hoping to have as maybe a student grant or something, is to have someone to buy several different types of compostable forks or silverware and see what would be most effective and do it on a smaller scale before campus dining commits to buying another.
The food and farm program has been predicated on this kind of involvement since its inception.
It's something the students have identified, it's something the students have been the leadership in, the students have largely funded it, and student labor has been largely what made the program happen at this point. So this is a good example of student engagement.
For KUI News, I'm Dylan Brown. That was the first track from today's featured artist on KUI News, The King Khan and the Barbecue Show, from their self-titled album. That was the first track, Waddlin' Around. First up in sports, the prestigious Stanford Invitational was a chance for three Idaho track and field athletes to prove themselves against stiff national competition. With a look at their performances in California, here's Stefan Wiebe.
All three Vandals competing Friday at Palo Alto, California, finished in the top 10 in their events at the Stanford Invitational, a meet that regularly features more than 3,000 competitors. Idaho coach Wayne Phipps said he couldn't have asked for any better performances. He said all three performed very well and could most likely be NCAA finalists. Senior Barry Britt ran a career-best 14-minute 3.48-second time to finish 6th in the third section of the men's 5,000-meter run. His time moves him to second all-time in the Idaho record book, and ranks first in the WAC by 46 seconds. In the field, Idaho sophomore Matt Sullivan and senior Jeremy Class each surpassed 16 feet and 10.75 inches in the pole vault. It was a career-best mark for Sullivan, who finished third in the invitational section of the event. Class finished fifth based on number of attempts. The marks tie them for second best in the WAC so far this season. The three Vandals competed in hopes to secure times and marks that will qualify for nationals at the end of the season. After a great start, they now have chances to expand on these marks throughout the season. The Vandals are now set to make their full team debut at the Sun Angel Classic in Tempe, Arizona, and the Sam Adams Invitational in Spokane this weekend. For KUI News, I'm Stefan Wiebe.
Lastly in sports, Theo Lawson has a profile of two Vandal athletes, one on the track, the other on the turf, who stood out over this past weekend.
Barry Britt, outdoor track and field. Coach Wayne Phipps sent just three athletes to the Stanford Invite Friday in Palo Alto, California, but those three might just find themselves competing in the NCAA championships come May. Britt excelled in the 5,000-meter race Friday on the Stanford campus, clocking in at 14 minutes and 3 seconds. Britt now ranks second all-time in the Idaho record books, and his time is the best in the WAC this season by 46 seconds. It's also the second fastest time in the nation thus far into the spring season. Barry had a great race, Idaho Director of Track and Field Wayne Phipps said. His performance was fantastic, and I'm sure he's going to have a great season. Chris Olugbadi, football. A hard-hitting junior college transfer running back, Olugbadi hit his holes as well as his defensive counterparts during Idaho's first spring scrimmage Saturday. Olugbadi, originally from San Jose, California, carried the ball into the end zone a total of 4 times Saturday, and racked up 108 yards on 22 carries. He accounted for the first three touchdowns of the scrimmage, which came from 1, 5, and 1 yard out, respectively. Olugbadi also had the last touchdown of the scrimmage, coming from 8 yards out. His long rush went for 25 yards, and the first-year Vandal also had 4 catches that would go for 62 yards. For KUI News, I'm Theo Lawson.
Am I the One? A second track from today's featured artist on KUI News, The King Khan and the Barbecue Show. Reunited never tasted so good. That is, of course, if you miss the famous Huckleberry Ale at what is now the Moscow Ale House, as they have reformed their partnership with the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company to bring their select brews back to the Palouse. Ryan Terranelli has that story.
In 2010, when the Coeur d'Alene Ale Brewing Company closed down, the Moscow Ale House, located in downtown Moscow, found themselves in a bind. The Coeur d'Alene Brewery has been the sole supplier for the local beer and bar and eatery for decades, and with no more supply, management was at a loss. For all of those years, we had been running under the mothership that had been the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company, and when it closed down, we were not sure what to do, said Wendy Smiley Johnson, the owner of the ale house. We phased out the Coeur d'Alene beers, and then we just started bringing in a rotating tap selection. And we had been doing that for about 2 years. We weren't sure if people would be receptive to rotating taps, and I think people have really jumped in, seeing some of their favorites on the menu. After 2 years of no beer from the Coeur d'Alene Brewing Company, CEO Gage Stromberg decided to start brewing again. However, this time in Spokane, under a new name, River City Brewing, and started supplying the ale house at the start of the year. Last year, when Gage decided to start brewing again, he came to me and said, "I want to be a beer man. I don't want to be a restaurant man anymore." And I took the opportunity and bought the ale house, said Johnson. The ale house will continue to rotate taps, but will consistently supply 2 taps from the River City Brewing Company, the Huckleberry Ale and the Vanilla Bourbon Stout, said Johnson. Variety of beer in a college town is sometimes a hard thing to find, with microbrews and regional beers often not given limelight in college bars, but not at the ale house. I think people are really starting to become appreciative of what's in front of them. There are so many great microbrews out there, and everybody is brewing these really neat, thoughtful beers, said Johnson. It gives people in this little town an opportunity to try hundreds of different beers. At the start of the year, the ale house reamped their image to signal in the new ownership and the return of the River City beer. The ale house's official name was also changed to Moscow Ale House with a new logo design, said Johnson. We will still rotate our taps, and the menu is the same. New logo and a little facelift. The ale house also supplies common cards so customers can recommend beers they would like to see on tap, which is something not many other bars do, said Johnson. The ale house has established itself as one of the premier bars in the Moscow region, attracting local residents as well as a steady stream of UIDAHO students. With such variety of beers, it's no wonder that the ale house has so much local support, said Tyler Dixon, a longtime ale house customer. Dixon also said that the rotating taps for the past 2 years were really cool because it's different every few weeks, but that it's really nice to have the Coeur d'Alene beers back on tap and see which different beers they come up with. Whether serving a small craft beer or a new ale from River City Brewing, the ale house has a strong following and a variety of beers in this small college town. For KUOI News, I'm Ryan Tarnell. We'll be right back.
last track from the King Khan and the Barbecue Show, Shake Real Low. They were today's featured artist on KUI News, and you can check them out and all the best new alternative music so long as you keep your dial right here on 89.3 KUI FM in Moscow. That's going to do it for KUI News for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013. But the Argonaut doesn't stop here.
Check out your student newspaper
on Facebook,
Twitter,
and Pinterest.
Also, be sure to check out the rest of Student Media's outlets, including
RAR.
RAR is the Argonaut's weekly arts and entertainment tab that showcases everything from reviews to quirky features. Find RAR inside the Argonaut every Friday and online at uiargonaut.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter by following @RARweekly.
Can't get enough Argonaut photos? Look at online exclusive photos and more on our Facebook page at facebook.com/UIArgonaut.
Hangry, hungry, parched, craving something sweet? Visit the Argonaut's food blog, Crumbs, at uiargonaut.com/crumbs. Like Crumbs on Facebook and follow @UICrumbs on Twitter and Pinterest for new recipes every week.
To stay up to date on everything Idaho athletics, check out Vandal Nation at thevandalnation.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/IdahoVandals, and certainly check us out on Twitter at Vandal Nation.
And don't forget about the University of Idaho student magazine.
Leprechauns are said to hide pots of gold at the ends of rainbows. If you're lucky, you'll find one pot in your life. Blot comes out twice a semester, and it's as close as your nearest newsstand or your computer. Go with the sure thing. Go with Blot. Find your pot of gold at blot.uidaho.edu.
I want to thank everyone for listening to KUI News. I'm Dylan Brown. Have a great Wednesday.